Hey, everybody. Welcome to another year of the Soccer Thread podcast. Who knows?
Decade?
It does not feel right. Yeah. Yeah, almost, basically. It's another week. We're here. We recorded a pod a while ago, but it got lost. And so who knows if it will ever be unlost. We don't know.
Lost but we're coming back. Ether. Into the ether.
There is soccer again to talk about, so we feel semi-relevant, maybe, for the four of you that listen. So we're back. We're back. I got Ryan Palmer. He's in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, the Alberta studios. Glad to be back. Hopefully I make it through all of the pod today, and I don't have to dip out early.
That's a lost pod reference.
That is a lost pod reference. No one's going to get that, but... you know what? I got to be honest with you guys. I am so happy to be in my closet speaking to you guys and hopefully sending this out to everyone, to our listener.
Is that an R. Kelly reference?
I don't know.
No. Cancel. Yeah. Colin is in Swampscott.
I am in Swampscott. There are a lot of local fireworks shows going on right now. So I apologize for the background noise that Cliff is not going to be able to filter out if you hear any of that. But I am so excited to be podcasting today. I brought my best, my finest Miller Lite, and just can't wait to get it started.
That's lovely. Lovely. I'm Dan Trader. I don't know if I said that. I'm just outside of lovely Portland, Oregon, in the Beaverton Podcast Studios. Very, very happy to be here, everyone. Happy Independence Day weekend, however you choose to celebrate that.
Yep.
No Mike tonight, so we go on without him. But Mike, we love you. Hopefully you're listening and finding joy in this. So
we love you about a third less than we love Megan Rapinoe, but we still love you a lot. You know.
That's a lot still.
That's still a lot, Mike. So that's don't get mad. Think about how much we love Megan Rapinoe.
That's true.
I'm trying to quantify what a third less than Megan Rapinoe looks like, but
I tried to pick the person we love the most, and that she's just one. And then Mike is like 67% of that.
That's true. I like that.
Is that like Rapinoe without the pink hair, but still with the pose? Is that about where that falls then?
I feel like because it's not, I'm not going to the fucking White House Rapinoe, because that, we love that Rapinoe.
God, we love
that. Yeah, that's Rapinoe. Like 70%. That's too much. If you take that away, that's too much.
Right. I would say Rapinoe with the pose, that's good. I'm good with that.
That's about right. We have received some emails over the last God knows how many months since we've done this. Some of them were covered on the Lost Pod, and it's possible that the Lost Pod will be unlost, so we won't re-record those. We don't know.
We don't know any more than you do.
We have heard some very nice things from some of our beloved listeners asking how we're doing and where the pod has been. And it's very nice to hear from you. It's shocking when people care about this pod any way.
It is insane. It's insane.
So we love it, and we love you. Thank you for being great friends.
I wish I could say that we will be blessing their timeline or their app with a new podcast, but whatever the opposite of a blessing is, that's what they're getting in their
not
inbox.
Blessing. That's fine.
Not blessing, yes.
Not, yeah. I think we did get one email that we're going to come back to from super producer Cliff. Maybe we'll just work it into the conversation because I might be unburying the lead, going too early to it if we go to it right now. So we'll save it. Cliff, it's coming. Let's start domestic. MLS is back is the name of the tournament that MLS is hosting. which is a terrible, terrible name for a tournament. But there it is. threadconsultingllc@gmail.com yeah. is the email address that we haven't actually made yet, but that we should, because we can help you, MLS.
Can we come up with some better names than MLS is back? I mean, they are playing in like a biodome, right? So we could work in some like biodome, the biodome invitational.
Something about Pauly Shore. Certainly.
Yeah.
I like the MLS reboot because it's just a bit of a pun.
I like that. I like that.
And would really piss off the people that are like, we call it soccer because we're American.
Yep. I like that.
So that would be great.
Clearly, I would sell the naming rights to a drug company here.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Always looking on for cream. I like that.
Yep. That's right.
Betting company, obviously, yeah. Another one that they'll definitely be in.
I mean, honestly, what this should be called is just the cream tournament, because we know it's going to go forward and we know why it's going to go forward. So just call it cream. Just call it cream.
How you see it. Yeah.
Put it on the tin, Don Garber.
This is about money tournament. It's kind of like this tournament. There's the basketball tournament in basketball, whatever. Like it's like a, you know, third tier basketball tournament.
Yep.
It's like, but they just try to be very simple. Yeah. This is just be like soccer for money.
Yep. That's exactly it. That is exactly it.
They're meant to start playing on the 10th or something within a week.
Tick, tick, tick.
Not all the
tick,
teams
tick,
are there
tick,
yet.
Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah. Colorado delayed their travel. I think it was today. They're hoping to travel tomorrow, but they had players test positive before they got on the airplane. So everyone is locked down in Colorado. They're not in Florida yet. Less than a week before they get to the bubble. Can you do an actual quarantine in less than a week with players that have shown up like 5 days before the first game? Does that?
No, does this make any sense?
Like, don't try to do the thing where you like everyone does this with their relatives now. Like, how long has it been since they went to the store or whatever? We're not accounting. So therefore they should be safe. And these are like, you can't play that game with this kind of shit because
nope.
The answer is always going to be no. Like, right. Like people are always going to be breaking it or haven't been tested or could be positive, but not showing up on the test, whatever, all this kind of stuff. So it's just going to be, sticking it together with Elmer's glue and toothpicks and putting it out there and hoping.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Absolutely.
I mean, so absolutely. Like the, a golfer, so golf is back fully, right? And a golfer I can't remember the guy's name, but he recently tested positive in the last tournament. So he had to withdraw. And then I guess he really wants to play golf. So he retested and he had three tests that were negative. And so after that third negative test, he was able to enter this most recent tournament and flew in on Thursday morning for a Thursday tea time to play. And it was just like, This is the life that we live in now, where like they're gonna quarantine and like last minute they're gonna be like, all right, there's a game. This is a mess. This is an absolute mess. It's just gonna be
yeah. And honestly, I'm so surprised that we haven't seen more of that in the Premier League or other leagues around the world. I don't know if we're just not hearing it as much. They have better like medical privacy law or something like that.
Well, I mean, the pandemic is relatively under control in Europe,
but not in places like the UK. Like UK is not that different than we are. I mean, it's a little better right now. It's better than Florida, certainly, yes, but it's not different than Colorado. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be able to make it go. It is surprising to me, but
I mean. A player Diego Rubio from Colorado said the team is now in quarantine, but there's also no one delivering meals. So We just have to ride the elevator down to pick up our meals and then ride our elevator back up. So, like, probably the Premier League actually has real quarantine and, like, real testing and real, yeah, right? It's not an absolute sieve like MLS is.
Yeah, that's
I mean, Premier League travels, what, privately, and we all know that MLS doesn't have private planes and they sit in coach and they get coughed on by some random player or random person.
I think they were all flying charters to get to this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, which was another thing, right?
Well, but that also is a problem, right? Because then you've got a couple players from Colorado that test positive, and the entire team can't leave because they've only got one plane. So, right. Like, you can't deal with any hiccups. It's a real, real issue. Colorado is not the only team with issues. Toronto also delayed their travel. I don't know if they're in Florida now. FC Dallas is in Florida, but inside of the bubble have 9 players or 9 total, and which is 6 players staff. And 3 staff or something, tested positive. So they're locked down.
MLS FC cream. Dallas, that's just innovative strategy. Like they're a team that's not a spending team, and they've seen in this tournament, like they need to get their edge, and they're going to go with herd immunity. Herd immunity is their edge. They've gone full in on herd immunity to start. They're riding the elevator all together. And we'll see how it works for them.
I hate to make light of this, but fucking A.
Yeah. I guess I only make light of it because the assumption is that they're quarantined well enough to not get other people sick.
Right.
And they're all 20-something healthy people who will not develop life-threatening symptoms.
Until one of them does, and then what is MLS going to do?
I'm
surprised we haven't seen that anywhere, right? A famous person who's...
High-profile professional athlete.
Yeah, high-profile professional athlete actually have... I mean, like, Rudy Gobert lost his sense of smell. Like, I don't want to lose my sense of smell, don't get me wrong, but like, he's not going to die, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if we see something like that, I mean, I'll feel bad. A, I'll feel bad for joking about all this shit, but B, like, that'll change the nature of, you know, the how much money is worth it conversation.
So, can I ask a question about this? I mean, obviously, we're talking about all of the plans and, like, how silly this is. We're still going to watch this, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, have you been watching the Premier League? I mean, I haven't been watching the
Premier League is still happening in stadiums though. This is like at the Wide World Sports. There's just going to be like an empty field next. It's going to be like, have you watched any of the NWSL tournament?
I have.
They're just in a like city park. There are houses in the background. Like this is not going to be much different than that. It is going to be a different feel than Premier League.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm still watching. I'm still watching NWSL tournament. Yeah. I'm watching soccer.
It's bizarre that like I have gotten kind of used to not watching sports. So like, I woke up this morning and I completely forgot that there were Premier League games on today, and I was like, oh, I'm fine. Like, oh, at noon I was like, oh, I guess I should maybe put Twitter down and stop and maybe turn the TV on. You know, like I've just completely forgot about
I should
sports.
Switch screens.
Yeah.
Oh, it's noon. I should switch screens.
we hear about it all the time because we hear about all of these players getting tested for COVID. And, but I've just like the need to watch sports. It's not there for me right now anymore. It's so weird.
Yeah, I agree.
That, like, it's just.
And the fact that the Premier League came back with like, no storyline left, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
Liverpool are going to handle it. They did fine. We'll get onto that, I'm sure. But, you know, there wasn't something you really want. If it was, whatever, 4 years ago and it was like Leicester's winning by 4 points, yeah, we'd be watching every game, and you'd be that'd be appointment television still, right?
Yeah, I mean, I also go ahead, Dan.
I was wondering today. Because I agree. I don't think I've reconnected. I mean, there's not as much soccer as normal at.
Yeah.
I mean, not this time of year. There's never soccer at this time of year, club soccer. But like, if now was March, like it should be in terms of game weeks and whatever. Like, there's not as much going on. I haven't reconnected. The rhythm
is completely different.
Mm-hmm. The rhythm is wild. But also, like, I was wondering if having lost it, there's some sense of like. Exactly. I think what you're saying is like, you didn't realize how little you would miss it actually.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you get divorced and you're like, oh, I didn't realize I'd be so much better off out of that relationship. Right. Like, that was like, oh, okay. I didn't realize actually it's fine if there isn't soccer on.
Yeah. But I didn't need this in my life.
Which is certainly true. It's not like a need thing. Right.
Right.
But also I think you're exactly right. Is like, there's just nothing. If this had happened right at the beginning of the season, then we'd just like plug back in because everything's still to play for. Or if this had happened while there was something exciting going on, we'd get back excited about it. And the only reason I'm not like fully back plugged in is like, what is there to plug into? I don't know. Like,
yeah, it like, I think that we talked about this at some point that like, if they were to start up, like what is even the point? And so obviously there, you know, the main storyline are like, at least in the Premier League is the, who's going to be playing in the Champions League next year and like relegation battles and stuff like that. But even that for me, I think the other difference is like, there's no fans, right? So we're watching games in empty stadiums with crowd noise that is piped in, and the angles of the cameras are like, they make it, you know, seem like it's a normal game, quote unquote normal, but I just don't feel like I have as big as of a commitment to watching sports as I did before. It'll change, I'm sure, but.
And I think let's talk about England, but Colin on the Lost Pod, I believe, said that he thought, so we recorded 3 or 4 weeks ago, mm-hmm. never got released or hasn't yet. But I think, Colin, you said you thought that there was about a 50% chance that the MLS Is Back tournament would conclude in a way that we thought, like, we would look back and say, oh, that was actually successful. How do you feel about that 50% chance of a successful tournament now? How are we trending on this?
Yeah. I mean, to be clear, like, what I deemed successful was, like, it happens, they make money, they crown a champion. You know, like, not like it was the best soccer ever and we were all impressed with it or something like that. But like, it was something that people watched on TV, mm-hmm. and, you know, players played hard-ish. Yeah, I think it's lower.
50%?
I think it's lower than that now. Yeah.
Oh, really? Lower than that?
Yeah. I think it's lower than 50% now that, it'll, like, because I think the bar, maybe I didn't even say this on the pod, but the bar in my head was kind of like, oh, people will care about this kind of the way we care about whatever they call the League Cup now, the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You and I are not watching that shit on TV. Like, no one's being like, there's a Carabao Cup game on tomorrow. I'm waking up early for a quarterfinal, whatever, Southampton versus Burnley.
Yeah. If it's not your team. Yeah.
If it's not your team, even if it is your team, you might not. But you'll watch the highlights. You'll know what happened. You'll care about the final. It's often not great soccer. It's often not featuring the best players. They don't care. There's squad rotation, whatever. Like that. That's what I expected. Obviously, the reason for that lack of quality would be completely different. But, you know, that's what I expected. Now I feel like, well, there's a pretty good chance that one of these teams drops out early.
Like,
not just like, puts in a bunch of scrubs and doesn't care, drops out, but like goes the
half
fuck
the
home.
Team is positive. Yeah. They have to quarantine. They can't get out of their hotel rooms.
Yeah. Exactly. They withdraw. And that is not, you know, that's not what we see in the Carabao Cup or whatever. Like that's a failure.
They run out the 17-year-olds at least.
Yeah, exactly. They run out the, exactly. So, and especially as this is like a, I mean, it's, whether you like this or not, it's like, it's a way to get the players to play some soccer and get some money in the door to pay the players and for the teams to keep their payrolls moving so that everyone on the payroll, the front office, the marketing guys, the people who sell tickets that they can't sell, you know, aren't selling tickets anymore, whatever they do, the social media guy, all those people can get paid. Right.
Yeah.
And so if you withdraw from the tournament, like I'm assuming your team's not getting paid and you're not getting your share. So that's definitely not a success. So I guess maybe I'm also scaling down what a success is, but I still think it's below 50%. Like, you even get all the games played. Like, that would be, that's what you want at this point. So
this all just goes back to my name for this tournament, which is just be Cream.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about the motivation. All right. So that kicks off sometime soon. I honestly don't even know when. Maybe there'll be a few games to talk about by next week. So let's go to England. As we've been saying for months and months, this was always in cruise control. We were simulating the season. Liverpool wins it. No surprise. They actually win because Chelsea got a result against Manchester City, right? So Liverpool didn't win it on the pitch.
Yeah, they beat Man City.
Right? So we're not given those kind of those always classic on the pitch celebrations, those shots. But I doubt Liverpool cares too much. Did they? I mean, do you guys care how they won it, or is this all just doesn't matter?
I mean, it's interesting that, like, didn't Chelsea do this for Leicester as well? When they won, they beat Spurs at Stamford Bridge. That solidified, and then Vardy had his Vardy party. But I mean, I think we all knew. It was really a matter of when this was going to happen. So I think, I mean, again, I was not super tuned in to any of this because we all knew it was going to happen. So
Klopp in his, I think they were at Anfield. The whole team might have been together celebrating. Klopp got on the Zoom call with the media and shed a little tear. It was quite endearing.
Of course.
Not surprising, right? Yeah. But he's a lovely man. Jordan Henderson also pretty emotional. Probably anyone would have been, but those are the two that I saw, the highlights of the crying. Colin, you also cried?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
different reasons.
As an Everton fan, it is one thing, you know. I don't know how many times it's been now, but Everton have not won the league derby in 15 years or something. Yeah. A lot of draws there. And I think it's like about half draws, half losses, but no wins in a long, long time. So the one thing we've had over Liverpool is that they had never won a Premier League title. And the last time they won the league was like around the same time that Everton had won a league. So,
I can't believe you're not more happy about this, because is this an actual league title victory? I mean, this is forever. 2020 is forever going to have an asterisk next to it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They won it, but it's an asterisk.
If I did that, though, I'd have to put the asterisk preemptively on the NBA title this year, which, you know, my Milwaukee Bucks have a shot at. That's the one sport that I feel like when it comes back is going to come back full throttle, unlike the Premier League and MLS. So
yeah,
I don't want to do that to myself.
So Chelsea, Manchester City lose to Chelsea, which gives Liverpool the win. Then the next game, I think Manchester City host Liverpool, give them a social distance guard of honor, which was very odd. This is the like widest tunnel of players, not even a tunnel. It's just like a boulevard of guard of honor. City crush Liverpool 4-1, 4-0.
4-0, I think.
So, you know, maybe making a point. Maybe Liverpool's hungover, don't care, whatever. Yeah. And then City go on to lose to Southampton more recently. So City are very up and down.
Yeah.
a little bit funny inconsistency out of a Pep team. I mean, these are strange times, fair enough, but this, just to be clear, this is like, what's that? There's a website that keeps track of the world champion. World champion by who beat who.
Yes, that's right.
So Southampton, like currently
the boxing style.
Is Southampton the current holder?
It's now the Premier League champions.
I think that's what that means. Yeah.
So I mean, I think can we throw this to Cliff's question about like the whatever. I mean, you'll be better at this because I don't do stats, but what Nate Silver says that. He's discounted home field advantage by 10% due to games being played in empty stadiums. Do you think that this is this like a real thing? And like Pep's struggling with this because they don't have home field advantage. I don't know where this game was played when they played Southampton, but is there really a home field advantage at the Etihad? Like, I feel like that doesn't have a great atmosphere.
I mean, I think there is a home field advantage everywhere. Not anymore. Basically, I'm saying not anymore. I think home field advantage in today's Premier League, Premier League, not MLS, where you might have to travel across the country on a coach flight, blah, 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 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Premier League, like, there's basically no home field advantage except for the fans. I'm surprised this number is only 10%. I would have put it way higher. Like, I'm not saying that the fans are intimidating the opposition. It's like going into Turkey and you're like, or like, the welcome to hell, Manchester United thing. When the players are like actually, going to play differently because they're afraid or something. No, but the home crowd influences the referees. You get more calls when you're at home, and that's a big advantage. You get the penalty call that could go either way, falls your way enough times that it makes a difference in games. And I think that's gone like now.
Do you think that like Liverpool had this runaway season? Do you think that without those home field advantages, does everyone kind of come back to the mean? And then when soccer that we see, if we continue this and they get to train and they get, the games are spread out a little bit more and we actually get to see a season with no fans, do we see a closer Premier League?
That's what I would predict, yes. Yeah. I mean, there'd be no place that would be like such a fortress. Like,
right.
You just can't imagine going into Anfield and winning if you're, not Manchester City or maybe, whatever, Chelsea. You're like...
Right.
If you're not Big Six, for sure, you can't imagine going into Anfield and winning. You're trying to get a point. If that, you're just trying to scrape it. But when they come to your place, you're like, okay, maybe we can shock them. Maybe we can do something. But I think every game then becomes that way. Every game, it becomes much more, all right, we have a chance. This isn't such a tough, tall mountain. And I think that favors the underdogs in every situation.
So I think the stats actually back that up in the Bundesliga. I'm not sure about other leagues, but I think the Bundesliga home field advantage, just if you look since they've been back, has been basically washed out. Premier League, last I saw somebody tabulate, which was certainly before this weekend, home teams were doing really well. The away teams were like, 2-12 and 16 or something. Like, it was heavily skewed towards the home team. Of course, sample this size. Is all hashtag sample size. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But at least at this point, at this point being a couple of days old, at least in terms of stats, it hasn't been clear that home field advantage is gone.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you guys here.
Let's talk about Pulisic.
Yeah. Go on.
I just wanted to hear you guys' thoughts on how he's been playing because I've not watched.
So since he's been back, he, I think, came in as a sub in the first game back and scored a goal, and he's been starting since then and playing really well. This is, absolutely good news for U.S. men's national team fans.
Yeah, he's had all he's had a couple nice goals. So had one that was like a, I don't know, 65 yard run or something off a giveaway, and then he made Ben Mendy look really bad. And with a nice little finish on that one. He's been who we thought he was kind of in a lot of this, is that his best quality has been running at people. But he's just been like pretty damn successful doing that. He's drawn at least two, maybe three penalties doing that. And has been man of the match as voted by the Chelsea fans for three in a row now.
Wow.
So that kind of shows you, you know, it's not just the case where it's, you know, the highlights are there or whatever. He scores one great goal. It's that every game he's the guy now in their attack who they're, you know, get the ball to him and hopefully he can do something kind of situation. So it's great, I think. And it's great to see him. I mean, obviously this is the end of a season that, you know, Chelsea aren't going to win the title or anything. So it's mostly an audition, but he's the best player in the Premier League under 21 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. All right, so World Cup for the U.S. Premier League
since they came back.
That's great. World Cup for the U.S. men's national team. I can't wait.
Here we go. We're going to win it. We're going to win it.
May as well simulate that one, too.
Somebody said that if Pulisic was more than a little bit thicker, they would swear that they were watching Eden Hazard. So that's pretty high praise.
He got a question about Eden Hazard from a journalist recently. I can't remember how he answered it. Very, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, media trained, but that is very high praise and exactly what they signed him to do, basically. So
he also, I mean, this is like ridiculous commentary, not backed up by anything, but seems like he came out of, you know, the quarantine. Like, he'd been on the bench a little bit. He'd been putting on some weight. He looks just less like a little kid, like a stick boy out there.
Yeah.
So hopefully with that comes a little durability and he can stay healthy.
He does seem like a little beefier. Like, he hit the weights a little bit. Like, I'm definitely beefier, but I'm not hitting the weights, I'll tell you that.
I also
different
think,
beef. It's
I think he's the. I think to flip that the other way. I mean, just to say, to try to temper our enthusiasm right now during the high times is like he's a guy who doesn't do well with playing a lot of games. Like, he seems to get injured if he plays a lot of games. He didn't play a lot of games.
Yeah,
he was fresh. He's always been great when he's fresh. And then he kind of tails off and gets hurt and whatever.
It's fair. It's a good point. Good point.
We'll see. But shit, you couldn't ask for it to be any better. So we shouldn't be complaining.
Yeah.
Palmer, I have not really been paying attention to what's going on at Spurs, but I know that Mourinho just absolutely threw the entire team under the bus.
I mean,
is a funny thing for Mourinho to do.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's very special though.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we talked about this when he first started at Spurs, that like it seemed like his tenure was in fast forward because he started doing the thing that he does all the time with every team, which is head games and, you know, completely throw everyone under the bus.
Structural self-harm.
Yeah, exactly.
He also like skipped the part where they score four goals a game and like look like, oh, this is different. This is like the attacking Mourinho. Like they just went straight to the
part in the box, really, the boring.
Most unfortunately for you, he also skipped the part where they win things.
Yep. Definitely skipped that. So we went usually what's his shelf life at a team? It's usually like three seasons, right? So we went from we hired him and we skipped to the third season, which is really good. He usually likes to pick
you
a
were
player.
You're trying to fast forward to two and you just like just didn't get your finger off it fast enough. Yeah. And you're like, fuck, we're in three already.
So he usually likes to pick a player. I think if you remember at United, it was Luke Shaw, where he just kind of like completely mentally eviscerates this kid. He's chosen Ndombele, who's was a pretty exciting signing for us, I thought. Hadn't played a ton of games, was injured. And then Mourinho just decided to completely throw him under the bus and say that he was lazy and all this shit. Like, just terrible Mourinho shit. And then most recently, he was quoted in the press saying that he inherited this team and it was an absolute mess. Must I remind you that we were in the Champions League final just a year ago, just a summer ago. Pretty messy. So I think I tweeted you guys or texted you guys the tweet. And I said that Mourinho is the Trump of the English Premier League. He needs to go. Like, I can't, I hate him. I hate Jose Mourinho. I hate him. So, I hate what he stands for. I hate him as a human. He can just fuck right off.
Palmer, you on the run order, you wanted me to ask you, is Mourinho a good manager? But I think we can guess how that's going to go.
Yeah, I can tell you.
Is Trump a good president?
You know, I think that he's a terror. Like, we can stop calling him the special one. He's a great, you know what he's really fucking good at? He's good at self-promotion. I think he has duped everyone into thinking that he is like this world-class manager. There's so many other managers that are better than him. He's a fucking fraud. I hate him. Everything that he's won is, I think, by mistake. A blind squirrel applies here, I think.
Even a blind squirrel wins the Champions League three times.
Every once in a while, yes. I mean, come on.
Maybe just twice. Sorry, everybody. You can stat check me. Colin, counterpoint.
I mean, he's not a bad manager. Like, is he the best manager for Spurs right now?
Okay, define a bad manager. Give me an example of a bad manager.
I don't know.
You could say Brendan Rodgers is a bad manager, but he's doing a great job at Leicester.
No, Brendan Rodgers is not a bad manager. He's just a weird person. Like,
bring back Tim Sherwood, please.
Okay, Tim Sherwood is a bad manager. That's a perfect example. Tim Sherwood is a bad manager. Like, there are bad managers, and you see them for half a season or something like that, and you just never hear their name again. Because they fall down a level and then they fail there and they fall down another level and they fail there and then they fall down another level and they fall off the map. And so I can't remember any of these guys. But
somehow Mourinho has failed upwards. Like, what the fuck?
Well, that's not even true. Like, he obviously he did well at Porto. He did great at Inter. Like, did great, overachieving, great job, Mourinho, on both of those, right? You can't ask for more, right?
Chelsea first stint.
Oh, Chelsea first stint. Exactly, yeah. I mean, could ask for more. Yes, but still did a great job.
But, I mean, I think that this is bullshit because
I think he's outdated.
Okay, that's fair.
So he was great. He was at least very good, world class at that point, even if you don't want to say he's somehow special and magnificent and the Michael Jordan of managers and was better than everybody else and whatever. He was at least good at that point. Even if he was lucky, he was at least good. And then I think he's good enough.
Say it.
He was still a good manager. Chelsea, second stint, United, still a good manager.
He was good at United?
He was like, I mean, he got more points there than LVG, Moyes, maybe than Solskjaer as well, I would assume. Like, maybe, isn't he the most points there since Ferguson? The best since Ferguson? They were second, I believe, to a Manchester City team who set the record, right?
This is bullshit.
I mean, that's not what they hired him to do. I'm not surprised they fired him. Because the expectations are so high, but you know, these top teams are going to fire you in, you know, a year or two or three, even if you're the, I don't know, whoever. Doesn't matter who you are. I mean, are you going to also say that, like, LVG and, I don't know, whoever, many managers who have failed different places, Ancelotti, Rafa Benitez, where, whoever you want, name a name, they failed somewhere.
Yeah, but they've gone.
Is Mourinho failing at Spurs? Yes, absolutely. Mourinho is failing at Spurs. There's no doubt. He is failing, and they should just move on from him. But they probably can't because of contractual reasons, how much they'd have to pay him if they admitted that. I totally agree with you. Is he still a good manager? Yeah, probably. He needs the right fit, and he's not as good as he was. Is he still good? Yeah, he's still good.
We fucking know. We know the plot. We know the plot with Mourinho. Like, it.
Yeah, you fast forwarded. That's your fault. Okay, here's the question, and I will step through his managerial career. You tell me if he was special. Was he special at Porto?
Yes, of course he was special at Porto.
Yeah.
Was he special at Chelsea stint one?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. Yes.
Was he still special at Inter Milan?
Yes.
2010, he went to Real Madrid. Was he special at Real Madrid?
No. That's where he lost his special.
That's where he lost it. That's so true. That's where he started to look all old and like not and have guys who could really play, but he didn't, like, they didn't really play, you know?
I mean, I think, like, if you think about, I think Dan and I had this conversation at one point. I think we were running 10 miles and I could barely breathe and make a point, but Dan was fine. I asked the questions like, what, like, why was Sir Alex Ferguson so good? And he was there at United for so long and he won so much. And my thing was that I thought that he was either able to put people around him that he trusted, that he listened to, and kind of change his game, or B, he learned and continued to adapt. Mourinho has not adapted. The game has passed him by. The style that he plays is a losing style of football. And he can't change. He cannot adapt. And I think that is bad management. That is a sign of a bad manager, of someone that continues to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, is bad. And so he was special in those 3 years, but he'd never adapted. And so now he's doing the same shit. And it's like, we watch because it's a train wreck. We know that train wreck is coming, and I don't think he's good.
Yeah. I agree with you. That style to me also, like, kind of is the style he developed and solidified at Madrid, rather than before that, I think. I agree with you on all this. And I think that it's the challenge that Pep faces as well. Right. His Barcelona team obviously played one style that was untouchable with those players in that time frame. At Bayern, he had a lot of talent, a slightly different time frame, and not exactly like the same kind of pieces, because you just can't have Xavi and Iniesta everywhere you go. And didn't find the same success. At City, Dan Tiki-Taka Hater can disagree with me. They get a lot of possession, but they do not play like 2010 Barcelona.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Kevin De Bruyne is not trying to play like Xavi or Iniesta, right?
Right.
The engine room is different. And I think whether Pep is still like the number one manager in the world, like I would have argued he was in 2010, 2011 Barcelona, I don't know, but he's still world class. Whereas Mourinho has certainly like not adapted as well. And I think partially to me, that's like is that Pep's like principles or something are more like concepts, principles. Like, we should have these players play wide. We should stretch the field in these ways. That's not tied to attacking or defending these certain ways, these certain formations. It's just like a, a concept, a way of thinking of playing. But then you can kind of like interpret it differently against different opponents in different circumstances.
So two things. First, all of Mourinho's like individual managing awards basically dry up around 2012. So that's right in the time frame that we're saying. Mm-hmm. He continued to get some awards at Real, but
winning things too.
People really, just thought basically. He was still good and he wasn't. Yep. Yeah. He was Premier League Manager of the Year in 2014-15. So that was second stint Chelsea. But
they won a title. Whatever.
Mostly it dried up. Yeah. So that's about right according to all his individual awards also. Second, I saw today that Pep has lost 3 away games in the league for the first time in his managerial career. So Pep he's done. He's history. He's out. I love like a manager talk. That's so great.
Yeah. Oh, fuck him.
It's back to the days when we used to spend like at least 20 minutes every pod talking about Mourinho.
I hate what he's done to Spurs. I hate it. Ugh.
Yeah. It's just good to have him back. Like there's no fans. There's no, there's no drama in the league.
Yeah.
Thank God Mourinho has a job. Like,
yeah, right.
If Mourinho was out of the game or back in Portugal, like,
I'll tell you what, I'm definitely watching the Amazon doc that they have. So that's going to be fun to watch.
I didn't know about this.
As Tottenham's
Amazon.
Yeah, they're doing like what they did with the
City.
Like it's like a Hard Knocks thing with it. Yeah. What they did with Leeds and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, so those are much more. The interesting thing about it is like those are, I think Hard Knocks, the HBO team doesn't put as much spin on it as Amazon does. Amazon really like is selling that team or whatever. Oh, yeah. I don't know how these contracts work, but the final cut there is Mourinho's got final cut on that.
Oh yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if there's anything they have to say. Like the didn't they have the one where it was supposed to be about Sergio Ramos? I can't remember if it was Sergio Ramos or Madrid at large, but then now I'm gonna forget how this goes. He got the red card in the first leg of a Champions League match. This is just last year's Champions League. And then in the second leg, he's watching from a box and the team comes back on Madrid and wins. We just look up who beat Madrid in the Champions League last year. But there's cameras with him in the box while he's watching. And that documentary has never come out. I remember watching it.
This
is amazing. Yes. Ramos gets this red card and late in the first leg and doesn't give a shit about it because he's like, whatever, we're going through. I'll see you in the semifinals.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Then they go out and it's like, this footage would be fucking phenomenal for someone who hits Madrid and Ramos. And of course, you would never see it, right? So
Buried,
yeah. Lost pod.
Let's go
lost
around.
Pod for Ramos.
The lost pod. Go around Europe a little bit. Bayern Munich wraps up the domestic double. They won the league a few weeks ago. They won the cup this week. On the Lost Pod, we got an email from George asking why don't we care more about German football for, a bunch of good reasons. There are good reasons to like German football.
Yeah.
I think one reason we did not mention that you could not watch a lot of German football is that Bayern are just so dominant. There's not a lot of drama in Germany.
That's true. I'll also tell you why I don't watch German football. It's on Fox.
I think those were the two reasons we had.
Talked about that.
Yep.
We had Fox and Bayern. Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I said this on the Lost Pod, I think, is like, I want to want it. I wish I cared more.
Yeah.
I think I could get into a league where Bayern win every year and still care some if I cared a lot. I mean, look, I'm an Everton fan. It's not like we're going to win the league ever. Like, I know we're not going to win the league when I start the Premier League every year too. So like, what does it matter to me if Manchester United were winning every year? Probably not that much, but.
Weston McKennie to Everton. Have you seen that rumor? Speaking of German football and Everton.
That's a joke, but it'd be phenomenal.
and spend Real Madrid with a 4-point gap.
Can I tell you the funny Everton story of the week is that Luke Garbutt used to be our left back that we were bring in after Baines, which we've since plugged that hole brilliantly with Luca Dean. So it's, you know, Luke Garbutt never came good or whatever, but that's fine. He's been buried on loan for forever. And he just got released this week because, you know, your contracts are normally up July 1st. And they didn't renew Garbutt. And he ended up being at the club for 11 years because he's an academy guy. And they asked Carlo Ancelotti, you know, Luke Garbutt's time with Everton's ending. You know, he's been there 11 years. Like, anything you say about the player? And it's on Zoom, right? And he just looks really, like, intensely. And he's asked the journalist to repronounce the name. And he's like, Luke Garbutt. And he's, and you see Ancelotti just look to his left and be like, whispering to somebody. And he either comes back and goes, I'm sorry, that's a question I was not prepared for. He clearly has no idea who the player is. He's like, he's been at the team, the league, or the club 11 years. You released him. He's like, I don't know. This is a fucking guy.
Like, quiet, yeah.
Just like, oh, man.
Fare thee well, Luke Garbutt.
Yeah. Everton, aren't we? Oh, boy.
Real Madrid with a 4-point gap in Spain, 4 to play. Barca have been dropping some points after Messi got a haircut. So he is the soccer world Samson.
Yeah. Haircut looks good, though, to be fair. Haircut, especially looks great in these quarantine times.
Man.
Perhaps. That's true. So 4 games to play. That's 12 points. Colin, can Real drop 4 points? Can they open the door here?
Yeah, this is the part where I pronounce all the teams have to play. So Real have left Alaves, Granada, Villarreal, and Leganes.
Oh.
Those listeners who email in about our terrible pronunciations of Zidane, go ahead and tell me where I went wrong there. But yeah, I mean, I don't see him dropping. I could imagine that they draw one of those games and drop 2 points, but they're not going to drop 4 points in those 4 games. Villarreal has just lost 4-1 to Barcelona. So I think that Madrid will take that one. And kind of a weird season, like you said, with an asterisk or maybe not. Barca giving it away. Not a vintage Madrid, certainly, but they'd love to take that one from their rivals. I mean, it counts.
Matters for Real versus Barca.
Matters. Yeah,
every one of them matters.
Absolutely. Yep.
So that's the, like, you know, big around Europe wrap up, which leaves the big question. What's going on with Champions League this year? I actually have no idea.
I have no idea.
Bayern with the domestic double. Is the treble on? What's going on?
Well, it doesn't start until August. Like, that's part of it. But yeah, I mean, everything is slated to be played, so to speak. But it feels to me like the MLS is back tournament in a way, right? Like, it's like it requires a lot of travel. And so that maybe makes it feel like it's not actually going to happen. But also that it's just like you're then requiring all these different things to different countries and different rule sets, so to speak, across coronavirus to like interact and like work.
Yeah.
Which the domestic leagues obviously can standardize a lot easier. So, until it happens in August, I kind of don't believe it, right?
The Champions League would be an amazing tournament to just like get them all in the same place and just run it.
Yeah.
That would be so fun.
Can we just like, yeah. I mean, for some of these, it was like, I mean, okay, if you do the Champions League in the style that I'm about to say, you probably can't really call it the Champions League. You have to put a big asterisk on it and call it the Champions League is back. Champions League is back tournament. Yeah. But like, put them all in an arena. They all live there. Like, we're going to play indoor soccer with the walls, 5-on-5, Your guys get coronavirus. God. That's fine. They just leave the arena. You only need six guys to play. Like, we're going to do this in 3 days. And just
20-minute halves,
eight games a day. Maybe you play two games some days. Like, I don't care how it goes. Like, just we're going to just pound it out. And, you know, no fans, obviously, but that would be high entertainment.
Is the 2020-21 season supposed to start at the normal time?
That's a good question. I think that varies by domestic league, right?
Doesn't the Premier League start in August?
Yeah.
You could imagine the Champions League running over, because like the 2021 Champions League, you can start those preliminary rounds with like the Isle of Man playing against Montserrat or whatever, right? Like they can be playing Montserrat while Real Madrid is still playing Bayern.
Great, right? Montserrat reference. Love it.
But thank you very much. Yeah.
But that's the question, though. That, I mean, ultimately, that's the question. Can those teams actually play each other given COVID?
Well, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you want to start your domestic leagues, then...
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the 2021 domestic season and Champions League will have asterisks as well. Mm-hmm. Like, whether that's like a major one, like there were only 30 games in the Premier League that year, or they played some kind of small, slightly condensed schedule at the beginning that, like, whatever, is fine. I agree with you that it's certainly going to, the situation is certainly going to affect next year as well. We will not be out of it when this league is over. So,
right.
In my effort to come up with a tiny nation in Europe, I actually came up with a tiny nation in the Caribbean.
So yeah, I've been there. I've been to Montserrat. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What a flex.
When I was a very small child, I barely remember it.
Very good. This is fun, guys. It's good to be back.
It was great.
I kind of want to go back to the MLS's back tournament. Who's going to win that? Give me quick predictions.
Portland Timbers, baby. Let's go.
Let's go. We're not. Diego Valeri is obviously going to snap his hamstring in like the second game when he plays 90 minutes because whoever our manager is doesn't rotate anybody.
You've forgotten who our manager is even.
I was about to say Caleb Porter. Look, it's a late night pod. What do you expect?
Oh, shit.
Gio, Savarese.
I love it.
Yeah, I think it goes to some team that I'm trying to think of a good team that's not loaded with stars, right? It's because it's going to be back-to-back game, not back-to-back games, but, you know, condensed schedule. People are out of shape. It's all fucked. So it's going to be whoever's got the best reserves and can carry them through some game where they have their reserves playing against a team of mostly starters and they can get that win with the reserves.
Definitely going to be NYCFC then. They'll just fly in Man City players because they're all like part of the same system, right?
Yeah, Melbourne City players. Yeah. Get them all in there.
Right.
But yeah, I think, I mean, actually NYCFC was one of the teams I was going to say is that they, to me, feel like they have a good mix of top end talent and still depth in the roster. Not just made up of a couple of DPs, like a Toronto or something. I would love to see a weird. It's also a tournament, right, where like you can imagine anybody winning. Unlike actual MLS Cup, you probably can't imagine like an expansion team winning or the Colorado Rapids winning, right, or whatever, some team that's like pretty bad.
I mean, we know nothing about Miami.
Yeah, so I would love to see like Miami just go out and win, like. Their first ever competition, just like, bam, win.
By knowing nothing about them, like literally, do they have a full roster?
Who knows?
Like, we don't know.
Fine. Yeah. And like when they trot guys out who like you've never heard of before, you're not going to know if that guy's good or not because you're going to be like,
right.
I don't know. Did they just find him? Or like,
see, is Paraguayan good? Really good? I don't know.
Yeah. Or like, is that guy just local to Miami and that's who they could get in for this tournament?
Who knows?
There are other guys. They were supposed to have a bunch of South Americans who couldn't travel. They got this guy instead.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Man.
Yeah. All right. I think LAFC is going to win. Bob Bradley's too good. They've got depth.
That's true.
I think that's the answer.
That is a good answer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Sleeper thing we should have talked about is the fact that Cream, baby, the new kits of 2020-21 have released, and they are wearing them because, you know, those deals, Premier League. I'm talking about Premier League.
Oh.
Is that like teams are wearing their new kits because that deal is based on calendar.
And yep, so July 1st,
it's
preseason. They're in their new kit,
right? Exactly. Preseason. They're in their new kit. So now they're in their new
kit.
That's
why. Oh, that's why Pulisic has the big three on his chest.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
where did that come from? Company.
That's the new sponsor. Okay. Yep. Old sponsor just got kind of fucked by coronavirus. Yokohama. Wow. Maybe. I don't know who that was, but
yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I had not worked that out. There great tidbit.
Extended preview. We got Everton's going to be in Hummel for the next few years. Very much hoping that they can get the same attention from Hummel as Ford Madison FC gets. So we'll
they should just wear the Ford Madison FC designs.
God, just like a different color. Good.
Just go to pink and flamingo. Just be like, nope, we love these. We're going with them.
They just send those to Everton and Ford Madison FC just gets some blue kits. Like, just like, sorry, guys. Yours were better. They pay us more. So
yeah, we put the work in, but only one team gets them.
Good stuff.
Oh man. All right. Well, guys, I think we're good. Mike, we miss you.
Mike, miss you. Mike.
Thanks, Cliff.
This was great. Thank you, Cliff.
Thanks, Cliff.
Black Lives Matter. Recording in the Beaverton Podcast Studios.
Recording in the PDX Alberta Studios here.
The first full pod from the closet.
Yeah, hopefully.
He's stuck in the closet. Can't get out of that closet.
Dan, your hair, no haircut, your hair is looking good. You got it going on right now. That is looking nice.
Yeah, baby.
I think we said that on the Lost Pod as well.
But that's the Lost Pod. That may or may not be, that might not see the
15% chance it ever gets unlost.